Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hello, I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And I'm Rob Beckett.
Welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell, the show in which Rob and I discuss what it's like to be a parent during lockdown, which I would say can be a little tricky. So, in an effort to make some kind of sense of the current situation,
and to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills,
each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing.
Hello, and you are listening to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
Leon, can you say Rob Beckett?
We've had
that. Was that Halsey?
We've had that. We haven't got one.
Okay, cool. Welcome to the show, guys.
Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to be here on a Friday.
We haven't got one. Boom. You can tell someone's expecting a baby in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No, done. Move on.
We haven't forwarded one onto the right inbox, and it's genuinely...
Why don't you forward one to me and I'll do it?
Rob? I'm going to say it. I reckon this is probably the most memorable intro we've had in a while. People are going to be absolutely lapping it up as it is.
Send one over and we'll do one anyway. Also, I wanted to ask you, Josh, are you going to take paternity leave from the podcast?
Yes, I'm going to take the full 6 months, Rob.
If you took 6 months off this podcast to look after your new fucking kid, I would be furious. This is the goal. This is what it's all been for. This is our Wembley.
I promise. So what day is it due? Say it came on the due day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I promise that I'll be there for the next podcast, like, God willing, with health of the baby, etc.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, if I've learnt one thing in the last year, I am best at my job, if you consider this my job, when I'm emotionally at my worst.
You're most effective to bringing joy to others when you hate your own life.
Exactly. So I think the 6 months coming up is potentially the funniest I'm ever going to be.
If you come on here and start telling me how magical it all is, we're ending it. I can't do it. Actually, you know, with a bit of foresight, it's okay to just love it, is it? I've seen those people. Everyone just says it's so awful, but you know what? It's actually magical. Yeah, there are some great moments, yeah? They are peppered between hell. What you say? It's sort of like little bright spots.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the sun peeking out between the clouds as it pisses down for a 2 week holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, at the end of the 2 weeks, you're rested.
But as long as you get the photo when the sun's out.
Yeah. Get the photo then to put on Instagram, and then you can just sit and wallow in the shit. So this is going to be a great opportunity to get it off your chest, Josh. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, Rob.
Carry on. Well, no, I was just going to say I had a couple more things to talk to you about.
I was going to ask you if you had any more things to talk about. That's how good we are.
Yeah, well, I have got something. I'm going to tell you about the bikes at Centre Parks, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So my kids can't ride a bike yet. They're too little, and I can't be bothered to teach them yet, basically, quite lazy. Any advice on teaching a kid to ride a bike, let me know, because I've got to do that soon. She's asking. She's five, so I don't think it's too early or too late, really. I think it's about right or just before. Anyway, we didn't get them bikes, but I got a bike with a trailer on the back, so you could put them in it. Which is good fun. You feel so Scandinavian. I felt Danish. I've always wanted to go to Copenhagen, haven't I, Josh? So, you know, basically Copenhagen came to a forest near Milton Keynes.
Oh, wow.
And I had my kids in the back, right? And do you know what? At the start of the week, I was doing all right. I was like, they're quite heavy. There's two of them. There's some hills. I'm getting through it. I've been on the exercise bike. You know I've got an exercise bike, don't you, Josh?
Yeah.
I've been doing it. I'm all right.
The thighs pretty strong. They've had a workout and build up for this.
Ah, my thighs are like Chris Hoy has let himself go. They look like the thighs of a man that once had powerful legs. I've never had powerful legs, but it looks like I might have had them at some point. Anyway, I'm doing all right. And towards the end of the holiday, I'm fucked, mate. I can't get up the hills. Oh, I can't get any speed up. I'm like, what is? I feel like I'm falling apart. I start worrying if I've got long COVID. I've never had COVID. But maybe I had it and I didn't know, but I've got the long one on it. Anyway, as I'm doing it, I keep hearing the girls, the worse I'm doing, the more they laugh. And I just thought they were laughing at me being crap at cycling. They weren't. Do you know what they were doing? They were putting their feet on the wheel and on the tyre to slow. They were breaking me.
Amazing.
They were breaking me.
You're giving them a physics lesson, Rob.
I know, but they were loving it. And I went, have you been doing that all week? They were like, yeah. I was like, you little shit.
That's amazing.
I know. So,
did you just
I
think that your legs were going weaker and weaker?
Yeah, I thought maybe. Also, I was drinking quite a lot. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't know about you. If I can sit outside and watch my children on a park where I know all the things in there they can manage alone, I will sink 4 pints.
Do you know what, Rob?
Yeah.
I went for my first pint outside. So I had Susie Ruffle and Alice came round and we had them in the garden.
Of course.
And then me and Susie went to get lunch, went to get pizzas from the pub.
Yeah.
It was a 15-minute wait, Rob. And there was a table outside.
No way.
And we just had a pint.
On a bench?
On a bench outside the pub.
All allowed, not being naughty.
And do you know what, Rob?
Yeah.
Didn't even have to make up that, you know, we were from the same household or anything.
No. You just was allowed.
Socially distancing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, you know. Apart from you have one pint and it all falls apart.
Yeah, exactly.
And you end up like sitting on someone's lap.
Yeah, we had one pint and we both had a straw in it, but they were long straws.
Exactly. Before you know it, you're having banana on someone's roof and you're full of it all.
Exactly. And I do hope people have listened to the last episode. Otherwise, that is...
Like I said, start from the beginning or don't bother.
It's a soap opera. It's a soap opera.
It's a roller coaster, man. No one starts Sopranos 10 eps in, do they?
Exactly. Exactly.
You've got to start from the beginning to know why we're so sad. You know, this is like The Wire for podcasts. Anyway, so that happened in Centre Parks, Josh. I've got two other things. I've got some advice for you about the newborn. Do you want some of that?
Yeah.
This is quite good advice, actually. Second baby advice for Josh. Hi, guys. I've just finished listening to Tuesday's episode. I wanted to message in some advice when Josh brings a new baby home. Because there's advice like you bring a present to be like, oh, look, your brother's... Anyway, I've not heard this. This is very good. When the baby arrives, make sure on occasion, sometimes say to the baby, who obviously has no idea what you're saying, hold on, baby, I need to help your sister. This way, instead of it always being the older child who has to wait while you're doing something with a baby, they feel like sometimes the baby is having to wait, so it's fair, so no one's a priority. That's excellent, isn't it?
That is like the ultimate parenting hack.
That is, I'd say, that is, I'm getting like hairs on the back of my neck of like just feeling the excitement that you or a new parent is going to get to know that is an efficient tool. Because then that way, it's fair that the eldest has to wait because the youngest has to wait as well. And the perfect crime is the youngest hasn't got a fucking Scooby what's happening.
Perfect. Brilliant. Superb.
Josh, and I've got one more thing as well. I'm overexcited, Josh. Can you tell?
Yeah.
I'm fucking vibing, mate. Do you ever get that? You just get an absolute vibe on and then you meet someone who's fed up and it brings you down.
Yeah.
You're not bringing me down, by the way. I'm just saying that, I'll go out full of beans and then I'll bump into someone that goes, fucking shit, innit? What's happening in the football? You're like, oh, God. Here we go.
Oh,
again.
God, mate.
But at the moment, I'm high on life and I've got an excellent tweet I'm going to read you. This is about old stuff found in the cupboard because your wife was trying to send 4-year-old out of date chocolate to someone for Christmas. This is from a guy called Ian Spark, who he's got the vibes of a sort of thinner, goateed Tony Adams about him.
Yeah.
It's quite a niche reference point.
Yeah, but you know, I'm picturing him.
Yep. Anyway, my 89-year-old grandmother gave me some bacon ingredients she no longer used. There isn't a best before date on it, but the currency was pre-decimal.
Yes, please.
Now, this is almond flavouring. So I think pre-decimalisation was 1976.
Right.
Is that right?
Blimey.
Do you want to Google that? Have I done that off the top of my bones?
70s. Have you done that off the top of your bones?
Give me a quick, get your Google up.
Decimalisation.
Here we go. Because this is what it is. It's an exciting youth content.
Oh, 71. You were just 5 years out.
Is this almond flavouring 50 years old, minimum?
It's 50 years old this year.
50?
Almond flavouring 50 years old this year.
I wonder what they're going to do for it. You've got to bake a cake, haven't you? You have got to bake an almond cake with a 50-year-old flavouring.
It's his golden jubilee. It's his golden jubilee of the almond flavouring.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. 89-year-old grandmother, 50 years.
No one's going to beat that.
My God, she bought that.
No one is going to
She bought that, ironically, just before her 50th.
So how does that work, then? They've just found that, and there's no price in it, but it's in decimal.
Yeah, I'll send you the picture. Yeah, so it's got on it, Sainsbury, even the packaging's old.
Oh, wow, 9D. Look at that.
9D.
What, 9D.
What's a D? What was D in old money?
I don't know what a D is. I don't even know, Rob, what the decimal thing
is. The shillings. What,
shillings.
Oh, I'm going to type in old money. What do I get? Oh, God, it's well confusing. So a 6D is a sixpence.
Yeah.
Well, why are we doing this? Oh, my God, is this mundane of the week?
Oh, here you go. Old pence was abbreviated to a D.
So 9 pence.
Which is one... Oh, I don't understand
9D.
Rob.
It was not... She spunked 9D on this grandmother.
This spunked 9D.
9D's a lot for
But
Armin,
do you know what? She's got her money's worth over 50 years.
Right, 9D in current sterling. We're doing it. This is how mental old money is. The Google... I've put 9D in current sterling. Do you know what Google's predicted? 2 shillings and 6 pence in today's money.
Listen to this. Yeah. Right. How do people live like this? Just according to Wikipedia. So before this day in the United Kingdom, the British pound was made up of 20 shillings,
yeah,
each of which were made up of 12 pence. So it's a 12th of a 20th times 9 is your 9D. Jeez Louise, count me out.
I still don't know why they don't just do seconds in hundreds as well. It'd be easier, wouldn't it? If a minute was 100 seconds and there was 100 minutes in an hour.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, that would be easier.
I think the sun does get involved.
Do you know what? We need another referendum. That's what we need, Rob.
And it should be like, it shouldn't be 24 hours in a day. It should be like 20 or 10. But then I don't know how that works. I've not done the maths, but all I'm saying is let's do decimalisation on time.
Let's do decimalisation on time.
That's quarter past five. My mum used to say 5:20 to 3. What the fuck is that? Not 25 to 3. She would do 5:20 to 3,
Why
she'd
did
say.
Why did she say that?
God, well, she used to say better than Shanks's pony. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Better than walking. Hark at him.
Hark at him. I've heard that.
Yeah, you've heard that. All right, mate. God, you know, I'm not accusing you of not being down with the youth. So that's funny as well. We were talking about hype beasts, weren't we, with Faye Ripley?
Yeah.
And someone thought we said height beasts, and they were Googling it to try and find out what it meant. And they felt older, even older than they did before.
Do you know what, Rob?
Yes, mate.
We've got another one here. Someone's had some Tabasco sauce priced in shillings as well.
I didn't think people liked it spicy in the old days. Hang on, listen to this before we crack on, Josh. 6D, so sixpence, known as a tanner or half a shilling. 2 shillings or 1 florin, colloquially known as 2 bob bit. 2 shillings and 6 pence, usually said as 2 and 6 or half a crown. The value could also be spoken as half a crown, but the coin was always a half crown. What
Jesus
the fuck is that?
Wept.
Britain is such a... We are mad, pissed up village bastards. Aren't we? It's mental. We've all got wacky accents, but live about half a mile away from each other. We're so small. It's just so mental. It's like Lord of the Rings, isn't it? No wonder Americans think Harry Potter's real.
Do you know the weirdest thing? You speak to an old person, Rob, occasionally. You talk to them about old money. They totally get it.
Yeah, and they go, it was easier back then. Was it? Fuck, you mad bastard.
Yeah.
It's insane. Imagine being American and coming to the UK to get your shillings back. And, like, you've given $100 and it's like, here's your 2, put pop up your ass, sticky poo. 9 a crown, half a tum, off we go. Just to get on the tube. What's the tube? It's an underground train, mate. Get on board, we're mad fuckers here. Or do you drink pints? What's a fucking pint? About half a litre, but we won't change it. It's a fucking pint, mate.
Oh, wow.
Dear. I'm tired now. Right, yeah. Who we got, Josh?
Charlie Baker.
Oh, another accent. He's near you, isn't he?
Cool. He is. He's from Newton Abbot, which is probably about 8 miles from me.
Is it? I thought he's quite a bit more Cornish than you. Is he Cornish? No, Devon.
No, he's Devon.
He's
I'm Devon.
Devon.
But he puts it on a bit more.
He's got a stronger accent. Yeah, but you're trying to fit in with the metropolitan East London media elite.
You've got to remember, I spent the first 3 years of my life in London, Rob.
You did it. First three? Oh, yeah, you did.
I spent some in London, some in Bristol, but yeah.
Frupney bits all over the place, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Frupney bit, 2 bob half an uncle. See
Isn't
you later.
The Frupney bit as well a euphemism?
Yeah, I don't know if that's money or like some sort of misogynistic sex crime.
Yeah. Anyway, no. Here's Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker, come on down. Hello.
Hello. That was such a nice intro.
Did you like come on down?
Are you after the Price is Right job? Is that what it is? It's gone. Alan Carr's got it, mate. Josh. You can't do it.
Well, also as well, you invited Charlie, like you introduced him at the beginning of like an ITV quiz show, and now it's his turn to walk up. So come on down. But we should have a better intro. Charlie Baker, I'd say comedian, singer, you do jazz, actor, radio host. You've got it all.
Yeah. Very average and lukewarm at all of those. Just...
But people like that.
And they like that. And it's just people stay like warm. That. Someone early on in my career said, never be hot. Just stay warm. Just stay warm.
No. Yeah, because being hot implies you will cool down.
You will
and
cool
that could
down,
really.
You know.
Yes, that's a great.
Good
that's
advice.
A great philosophy. Yeah. It's a really good advice. I'd say you've got funny bones, though, Charlie. You're a funny person.
Thanks.
Which
thanks,
sometimes man. You don't have. Some people manage to get away without having that. But you're a very funny man, and you've got two children. Is that correct?
I've got two children. Yes, with a 9-year gap in the middle.
Oh, what? And what, yes. How old are they now?
My son is 14, which is like it's like living. He can probably hear me, so I have to be. Because I'm not really allowed to talk to him or about him.
Right. So that this is going out as well, Charlie. So even if you do keep your voice down, there is an opportunity for him to hear it.
Yeah, for the rest of all time. The internet's forever, isn't it? Yeah. And no, it's like living at the moment with the staff of a French restaurant in Paris, right? Have you ever been? Have you ever been to Paris? Everyone's so amazingly rude that you have to you have to admire it. Don't you? You have to absolutely go. That is some unbelievable rudeness there. But you also get like the maitre d' at the front, who is amazingly charming. Like, so some days he'll come down and it'll be like the maitre d' will be here, like the most charming person you've met in your life. It's an absolute joy to have him in the house. Absolutely beautiful. And then he'll ask for like 20 quid or something and it'll be fine. But, you know, like, and then sometimes it's like having that rude waiter who doesn't speak to you, just looks at you like you're an absolute idiot, just does not want to speak to you ever again. Don't embarrass me in front of my friends. You know, all those things. Oh, and then
so it's really peak. It's peak hating dad for mode.
And then you get the like executive chef, full Gordon Ramsay. You are a bastard. I hate you. Just absolute. Oh, absolute. And then at the end of it, just a beautiful, sometimes a great big cuddle. Or, you know, I'm sorry, Dad, and we have a big cuddle and I love you. And, you know, and then we sit and watch the football, you know, and then it's all lovely again and have cheese on toast. All have cheese on toast, you know. But that's what it's like living with a teenager.
Can I just say that the highlight of your relationship with your son is you have cheese on toast sometimes.
Do you have anything special on the cheese on toast?
And, I just like your classic cheese on toast, strong cheddar, six. Because they do it in numbers now. You're six strong cheddar.
Six strength. That is, they love a bit of strong cheese down south.
With a little bit of Marmite on the bread. And
You did say classic, but then actually you've absolutely ripped on the rule book.
Yeasty wild card. Mad yeast inspired bastard.
Bit of Heinz on there, but a little bit of Heinz tomato sauce.
Can I ask a question that is a dispute in my house? Do you toast the toast on both sides before putting the cheese on?
I am lazy, right? We haven't got a microwave anymore, but I used
you
to.
You don't do it in the microwave.
Well, I'll tell you what I used to do.
Oh, you animal.
Bread in the toaster, get it out, put the cheese on, in the microwave for 20 seconds, bang. But it isn't as good.
You've lost all the toast.
It isn't as good. It isn't
it's
as good.
It's all wangy.
But if you're like me and just like an emotional eater and just need to shove something, just shove something in your face to stop the feelings, then
Yeah, so far the entire chat that's supposed to be about kids has been off a restaurant analogy and now we're on to cheese on toast. But you've lost loads of weight. Are you still ripped or did you get you hammer yourself in lockdown?
His son's been away, so he's been eating less cheese on toast. Yes.
I'm gluten-free and I've discovered that gluten-free bread, Rob. But I've discovered
sorry for your loss.
Corona Lager. They don't advertise it is gluten-free.
Oh, so is it?
That's been a disastrous thing to
find
out.
Some good Corona news. Am I right, guys? Ah, bit of fun. Just a bit of fun.
Oh, I can see why you're on that weekly topical show.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
But everyone warns you about teenagers, right? Everyone warns you, and you think, I can cope with that. I know moody people. I've been in the arts my whole life. I've seen, moody people. It's unbelievable because first few times, you can't believe the rudeness and you can't believe the speed of it. It's like a sort of shark attack. I've never been attacked by a shark, but I imagine it's quite fast.
Yeah. I can't help but feel that you'd be having cheese on toast with a shark afterwards, Charlie.
Exactly.
Do you take it to heart?
I take it to heart if it's at my wife or our 5-year-old daughter. If it's at me, I can sort of just take it and go, okay, that's all right. That's all right. But if it's rude, my one rule is don't be rude to mum, just do not be rude to mum. And it's like, I will suddenly go, and I would say I'm a 50-50 parent. 50%.
You haven't got full custody.
Sorry to go to football again. Have you ever seen that quote that sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit? You ever seen that?
Yeah. Who's that?
I don't know. It's an Italian
Gattuso.
Footballer.
It's Gattuso. It's Gattuso. Gattuso. Yeah. He's a manager. They go, and they ask him, what do you think of his defence? And he goes, I don't know. Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit. And that is basically my parenting style. I will sometimes go, oh, that was awful. That was a really bad bit of parenting. And then my wife will give me like a little tip, like of how to deal with something. And I'll do that tip and I'll go, I am brilliant at this. I am absolutely brilliant at this.
Well, have you got examples of when it's gone wrong and then when you've nailed it?
Well, it's always, she's really good at just saying, pick your battles. That is the key with a teenager. Pick your battles and just don't try and be their friend. It's just letting a lot of stuff go. You just have to let a lot of stuff go. Take the frozen amendment and just let it go. Because it's like, you're not going to win because the argument is not lucid. It's not, they don't mean it. It's pure emotion. It's just pure emotion.
And hormones as well at that.
Oh, age. Yeah, exactly. And he's growing. He's nearly taller than me now.
What, 5'5"?
Kids are bigger though, aren't they? They are bigger now, aren't they?
I think we're getting smaller. I
am getting smaller, but they are massive now. These kids walk up because we live on a high street, and so the kids walk home from school, and they are all 6 foot plus. It is unbelievable. They are massive now.
I think a hard nut from school. Yeah. I think a hard nut year 8 could beat me up.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, actually, definitely. Sometimes, like Stan plays in a football team.
He's a keeper, isn't he? Goalkeeper.
He's a goalkeeper. Yeah, but like one of the hard lads in his year plays in this team, right? And I like him, right? I like him. But sometimes
have to be scared of him.
No. But this is the thing. I'm trying to temper what I say because
I like him, but not when he takes my cheese on toast.
No, but the thing is, right? It is the thing. He's like the hard lad in the year, right? Yeah. And if he turns up in your house, it's a bit like, yeah, hello, yeah, all right, sort of feel a bit like, oh god, oh no, because he's just genuinely hard, like.
It's like when you go to the pub and someone introduces you to their really hard mate and you're a bit scared, even though they're being nice. You just know.
Yeah.
You're like embarrassed that you put Marmite. He goes, have you put Marmite on this cheese on toast? You taking me with some sort of mug, Charlie? Yeah.
I can legally buy beer.
if you want some.
Ever smoked?
Have you got to that point though, Charlie? So is beer a thing? Is that is
no? Yeah, he's 14. So, but look,
is he rebelling?
We're pretty open because we're so.
It's cider at seven, isn't it? Your lot.
Yeah, I thought it is. Yeah. No, it's so. We're pretty open. We have a, you know, no bad words, just bad intentions. We have that with swearing. Pretty
what's that?
Open.
What's no bad words? What's that?
No bad words, just bad intentions. So with swearing, it's like, it is just words, isn't it? Yeah. It is just words. But if you call me a then that's a bad intention, isn't it?
Yeah, that is
but, you
bad.
Know,
yeah.
But the word itself is like, well, you know, maybe don't say
so
it.
So he could. Would you allow him to use it in a... In a maybe positive
not,
way.
Maybe not. What
are you old?
I mean, if my mum comes round and he says that, I think it's going to go badly.
Yeah, that is bad, isn't it? Hard kid comes round, like, suck your mum. Like, okay, yeah, sit there if you want. No worries.
No.
But do you think it's hard for him because he's got this cute, like, younger sister that,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
It's really hard. It's really hard for him, Rob, yeah. It's
was he jealous a bit? Do you think? Not jealous, but is it, you know.
He's always been good as gold, you know. He's always been, he's a really love. You've met him. He's a lovely boy.
Yeah, he's a really good kid.
Absolutely. Lovely, lovely lad. Always has been. He is really good with people. You know, he's like a natural host and he's funny and he makes up good jokes and he's, you know, and he's a really lovely, lovely lad. Like, and when we, because we struggled to have our second child, we had a few problems having our second child. So much so, I'd given up having a second child, completely become at peace with it, and written a show for Edinburgh called Just the One about how great it was having one child and how only children were the future and how we should all have only children. And also the terrible thing of calling kids only children, like they're the only one. Oh, only you. Oh, bad luck. Yeah. You know, so I wrote a show about that. And of course, the moment I'd written that show and paid my Edinburgh money, we got pregnant with another child straight away. So,
but you're a lazy comic, so you went through with the show anyway.
I did do it anyway.
Yeah,
I did do it anyway, and I just sort of,
those audiences end, don't know, do they?
There'll be someone listening to this going, "Cheeky bastard!"
I saw that he did a big sad bit at the end. What a wanker!
So was it, so with the second, did you try IVF and stuff like that? Or was it just,
no,
happening and then it did?
So we had three miscarriages, which,
that's
and
tough,
one
man.
Was, one was at about 20 weeks, right?
Oh man.
And so, and at the scan as well, we're at the scan.
Oh, that's brutal.
Was,
sorry,
was
Charlie.
Just no, it's fine. It was just no heartbeat. And you go, and you then realise no one ever talks about that. And that's actually why we should talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think it's good to if you're comfortable.
Because it's something like one in two or one in three pregnancies ends in miscarriage. And it is really hard, A, on you as a couple. Very, very tough on women. Really, really pretty brutal, I think, the physicality of it. And it's... first time it happens, you're like, oh, that's sad, you know, because with Stan it was straight, we got pregnant straight away, it wasn't an issue. And then we, you know, a couple of years later we went, oh, you know, tried again, and it sort of happened pretty quickly, and then we had the miscarriage, and you go, oh, that's sad, that's really sad, and I didn't expect it, but you know, as they say in football, we go again. You know, you try and move forward and make it a positive. And then after the second one, it's like, oh, that's really hard. Actually, that's hard again. And then we stop trying again for a bit.
Because yeah, emotionally, it must be so taxing.
Just too hard.
Yeah.
Just too hard on you. You know. And also, then it starts to affect your relationship with our son. You know, and you sort of think, well, he's enough. This is enough. You know, we're not a happy family. This is enough.
Did he know what's going on, Charlie?
No, not at all. And then the third one, we were, you know, you get a bit of hope, you know, you get a bit of hope, and that was the one we went, that's it, we'll stop now, because it was just too hard. And
yeah.
For that one, Sam had to go into hospital to have a DNC and all those things, and
sorry, what's
a DNC is where they have to actually remove the fetus. You know, and also when you're in hospital,
probably
things...
didn't need to ask for clarification.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine, mate. No, look, this is good because people listen to this
exactly.
And they don't know how it. And people who go through it, it is really, really difficult, but there are a lot of people. We sat there waiting for that, and it was Christmas time, and you know, you've got it's Christmas on the radio, you know.
Get out.
And you're surrounded by, like, there was like a 16-year-old girl like sitting in the corner, like sobbing, waiting to go in and have her scan, and like there was one woman came out of the scan with her husband, fucking hell, Darren, another fucking boy, right? All this sort of stuff, and you're sitting there, you're just surrounded by life, because it's what it is, it's life. And then we went in for the scan, and there was nothing, and it was really that was a hard one. That was a hard one to take. And then we went, right, we'll stop. I think we'll stop. Where we live in Oxford, there's a brilliant charity called the Silver Star Charity, which helps women before, during, and post pregnancy. And they spoke to us and said, look, you now qualify for our help. If you want our help, you can speak to the specialists. We thought, well, let's take it to the end, because we're not getting it. I'm 44, you know, Sam was 40 when we had our daughter. So she's not getting any younger. And we thought, let's take it to the end. Let's just see. They said, there is no reason you can't have another child. You've just been pretty unlucky. So we went, right, we'll have. And then when we got pregnant again, that charity just gave us scans whenever we wanted them. Really amazing charity. And then, she turned
got annoyed with you doing twice a day, weren't you, Charlie?
That's I was in there, camped out.
Bringing in other women and charging them.
Yeah.
I can sort you a scan.
Little backstreet service, you know. And then, of course, that pregnancy was...
Were you ever comfortable in that pregnancy?
Never, ever. And so you're in that... you know, I know people who've lost children and had... stillbirth, and I know people who've had miscarriages, and it has been in our life, that conversation. And the first thing that happens is, when it happens to you, is you want to get pregnant. You know, people get pregnant and they want to get pregnant, and so they want to have a child. That urge, the animal instinct, takes over. But those pregnancies just feel so long. That 9 months just felt, you are day in, day out, every hour you are just sort of ticking it off, ticking each day off. And we just went for walks and walks and walks, and talked and talked and talked the whole thing. I mean, you know, me and my wife, we really get on. We absolutely love each other. And
we really get on. It's such a great way of describing it.
Well, some people
really
don't,
nice,
do they?
Way, yeah.
Some people absolutely hate each other.
We really get on.
Just grind down until they're 18, and then we can go our separate ways.
But we didn't tell anybody until quite late on, like past the second scan, you know, like a month past the second scan. And we told Stanley first, and we got him home from school. And of course we thought he was so big, you know, he's 9, he's massive, he can cope with this, you know. But he's 9 isn't, look at it now, and you go, oh my God, it's just a little boy, you know, he's just a tiny little boy. But we sat him down after school, and we've got some news, and he went, all right. And he went, is mum okay? That was his first thing. Oh. Yeah.
Kick in the jaffers for you, Charlie.
Exactly. It's fine, the thing. It's fine. Look after your mum. And we said, we're going to have a baby. And he just, his eyes filled with tears. And he put his arms around Sam's neck. And he just, my neck. And he said, I'm just so happy for the two of you.
Oh my God!
What a grown up response! What an empathetic response! And I've never been proud of him. And that is just what he's like. And he's never been jealous of her. Of course, it's difficult. And also, you want them to be siblings. You know, you want them to have that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was his instant reaction, and he was just so joyous when she was born. You know, holding her, because he's big enough to hold her. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
our story. So it's might be a bit much.
Yeah. Oh wow. Well, I think that's really good of you to share with people. So I think a lot of people that listen to this always
say, funny, aren't I? So naturally funny.
Charlie, little tip: if you're going to do that in Edinburgh, you're going to need to gag it up a little bit, just a little bit.
Do a bit of Noddy Holder stuff around the It's Christmas bit. I like the Darren stuff.
What's going on with his? What's going on with his bloody sideboards?
Needs a little callback to the toast or something, you know.
Yeah, I don't think the description of the DNC is needed in the stage show. But apart from that, great show all around. Really funny. So how was it though, as a parent, when you've got like a grown-up, as he, I know he's nine, but not a baby, and then you're straight back to nappies again? Had it all changed? Was you?
No, you really regret it, yeah. You really
regret it. Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC injectable gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergic to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Well, there must have been slight guilt, though, like, because you've wanted this second child for so long and been through so much, that when it is hard and you're going, oh, for God's sake, you sort of have to switch back in and be sort of like, you know, so happy that it's happened. It's must be a weird feeling.
You're out the woods. You know that, you've got young kids and Josh is about to have another little one. And you're out of the woods and you go, oh, good. We don't have to, you know, when they're nine, it's like, oh, they get themselves up and, you know, they can sort of put themselves to bed and you can go on holiday and have a beer and they can just mess about in the pub. You know, you are like, you're free again, you know. And then to get ourselves back in that locked in situation, I'm like, oh, no. But she bad luck, John.
Well, I'm not out the woods, though.
No, that's the thing.
I am out of the woods. Yeah.
You're out of the woods. Tie a knot in it, Rob.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tie a knot in it.
I might get it all snipped off, but someone said your balls hurt forever, but I think that might be the urban myth.
Well, this sounds like a bit of material. This isn't a bit of material. I went to the doctor.
Tell you what, didn't sound like a bit of material. The last 10 minutes this podcast, Charlie.
God. Seen Charlie Baker on Live at the Apollo. Bit heavy.
No. I went to the doctor and I said, like, I want a vasectomy. And they went, oh, we don't do it on the NHS anymore in Oxfordshire. I was like, oh, right. I said, do you have any idea how much it costs? And she went, well, ballpark figure. I went, okay. Ballpark? And nothing, not a thing. Not a thing from the doctor. I thought, this is a good bit. I've smashed this. Nothing. I got nothing from her. Anyway, 700 quid is the answer.
700 quid.
But you know what? It's a big saving.
Yes. It's cheaper than a kid.
So did you go through with it, Charlie?
No, I haven't had it done yet. No, because lockdown hit.
Yes. Oh, right.
This is the thing. Lockdown hit. But I am definitely going to do it because I do not want any more.
No.
I tell you what, the arrogance, Charlie. A while ago, you were like, oh, I really want a second kid. Now you're like, oh, I don't. I'm desperate not to have a kid.
I am done. Even if when Sam eventually kicks me out and she's had enough of me and I am like never having any. I'm not going to be one of these 55-year-old men who like as a, you know, 21-year-old. It looks exhausting. Oh, God. Yeah. Just such a huge mistake.
Imagine if you were divorced and you got, you know, them young girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're in a pub having a drink. They're like, I'm just going to meet my mates over in North London. You're like, oh, fuck off. You only just sat down.
Unbelievable.
Get a cab over to a house party. Fuck me.
Must be.
But also, when you see him in like little trendy jeans, trying to keep up.
Oh, no.
Super dry cap. Just,
it's not. I don't like envy them, or I just feel. I feel sorry for them, not because like, oh, that's sad. You've had a midlife crisis. It's just like you just must be knackered, mate. You must be absolutely exhausted. Are you ever allowed to just sit in your pants and like just watch Jeff Stelling?
Do you, so now, Charlie, at 5 and 14,
yeah,
do you feel like you're through the toughest period then?
Yeah, nearly. Yeah. Well, so let me say, it's been very different. Stanley is very like me, full of energy, like nonstop. When I was growing up, I just could not stop moving, full of energy all the time.
Do you mean when you were growing up?
No, pretty similar now. You know, it's pretty nonstop, and it's just something inside me that cannot sort of stop, and I have to tire it out. I have to tire myself out. Yeah. And I see that in Stanley as well. Stanley's got that. He's just constantly like needs something to do. So needs attention, needs this, you know, whatever. Whereas our daughter, Betty, she's very like Sam, and Sam's very calm, very thoughtful, has real insight into things. And Betty's very like that. And so she can live in her head a bit more, and she'll come up with little stories and songs and stuff like that. Just very, very, quite a peaceful presence, you know. It's really difficult to have this conversation without going, I absolutely adore my son, but my daughter really is a dream come true. No, they both are.
I think it's just at the age you're at. I imagine if we spoke to you in 10 years' time, and she's 15, it's a very different
story. Think that's a second child thing? Because
I think, yes, I think you know, do you know what? You know, I think, I'm sure you know more.
No, I disagree. My second one is a lunatic.
But do you know what? But Rob, that's because you're more relaxed, because you've done it once. You've learned how to do it. It's your difference between your first gig and your 100th gig. You know, it's still doing jokes, but you're a lot more relaxed on your 100th gig than you are on your first.
She's got eyes. She's got, our eyes are mental. you just look at her. She's
in the mirror.
What exactly? She's basically me.
What are her teeth like?
That's it. what's your boy into though? Is he like at 14? Is he picked a style?
Oh, scootering, big scoot. Yeah, but it's really difficult to talk about it without.
Is his hard mate round? Are you worried?
No. He is. I absolutely.
Imagine if Charlie gets wedgie halfway through the podcast.
Just see him getting weighed in.
I love his bones. No, I love his bones.
You love your kid, but
yeah, I know. Yeah, no. He's really into scootering. He loves scootering and skate parks and that sort of stuff.
All right.
And also, he's started to choose his own style and stuff, and he looks really cool. And now I'm like, oh, you look really good. You look really good. He wears this all at the moment. All the scooters and skaters wear Dickies clothes. You know, like the work wear. We had some work done in the house the other day, and this carpenter turned up in Dickie's trousers and a Dickie's jacket. And I'm like, oh, Stan, look, he dresses like you. Did that. See, that's the sort of thing that winds
up. Oh, yeah, he would hate that.
You see, that's...
I can see you being an annoying dad, though, because you've got the energy just jokes all the time.
Sam says, I chuck bombs in. She's like, you fool to yourself. You go in there, you'll chuck a hand grenade in. You'll say something like, and you don't know you're doing it, but you'll do it. And then it's your own fault. And then I have to deal with it. And it's like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Do you show off? Do you show off in front of his mates when they come over?
No. None of that.
It's a bit of juggling, but that's not showing off, is it?
There's, you know, a couple of swing tunes.
I can juggle fire. People need to see it. Rob.
You probably can. Can you juggle?
I can juggle.
Of course,
fire.
He can juggle.
I had a very lonely childhood, but no, five-year-old daughter as well. Though you're seeing all films and stuff again. I like watching all the Disney stuff with them and that sort of stuff as well. So you really see it when you see a good film. That's the other thing with Stan now, showing him like, you know, all the old school films I like Indiana Jones and like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and all those sorts of things.
How different is your child's childhood to your childhood in Devon?
Not that different, because we live pretty rurally. You know, we live in a little market town. It's not actually that different, I would suggest.
What's he like on like the devices and stuff like that? And,
oh, yeah. But that's been brilliant. You know, that's been brilliant. No, it has. It has, because it gives him... I don't know what I'd have done in a year-long pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, just sat on my own. They can go and sit and talk to each other. You know?
Online gaming, I think, is really online sociable. Gaming, and yeah. You know, they're sort of safe indoor, especially for a lockdown. What is he playing Fortnite?
Fortnite, yeah, which is brilliant, isn't it?
Absolutely. I haven't played that. I play Warzone.
Don't play it, Rob, because you'll get addicted. This is the trouble. I have to sit there going, don't play. This is no good for you at all. Absolutely no good for you at all. What? Let's see. This is awful for you. Shoot. And then, right, get my go now. Right. Give me a go. And then Call of Duty, of course, he plays as well, and he loves that.
Yeah.
And I've got that. I've now got that on my phone.
Oh, what, Call of Duty?
Like, yeah, because I'm like, this is brilliant. This is exactly the game I wanted as a child. He just like, I think he likes the social element of it in FIFA.
I was going to say that, because I got into it in lockdown, and it's just the way, it's the same way as my wife will WhatsApp voice note her friends all night whilst something's on the background on telly. And I just sit there, and sometimes I'm not even playing the game, just chatting to my mates. I quite like it when I get shot and I get to watch them.
Take
the pressure off, lads.
That's
I've been
the thing.
4 hours.
That's very, well, it is, you know, and that for him is like, oh, that has been a bit of a godsend, really, because it's like, oh, you're not on your own, you're not alone. I mean, it can be awful as well. Yeah. Some of the stuff. If I ever put his headphones on and hear what they're all saying to each other, I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah. Well, when you're like on days out, because I've got two kids that are quite close together and two girls, and they're quite into the same stuff. So if you're on holiday on a day out or going to like a theme park or something, obviously at that ages they can't go on the same ride, so they might be into different things. Do you find yourself just sort of pairing off with each of them?
A bit, but he's old enough actually to sort of go off on his own a bit. That is the tricky thing. They are at different ages. So you end up sort of trying not to just fall between two stools. You sort of have to go, right, this is for you, this bit, and this bit is for you, you know.
Because you don't want to take him on Dumbo ride, but then you can't take the five-year-old on Space Mountain.
Well, he quite likes it. We all enjoyed Peppa Pig World. We all enjoyed it.
Did you?
Well, you know,
I want to go in. I might be going in the summer. Actually, I'm going down to a caravan.
Who's your favourite? Who's your favourite?
I actually absolutely hate Peppa Pig, but I quite like how it engages my kids.
Yeah, good.
We like Bluey. They're a big fan of Bluey.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Australian one. That's great.
Yeah, it is great. But the other day, Betty said, oh, "Dad's not as fun as Bluey's dad." You're like, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good.
Oh, wow.
I said, they only film Bluey's dad, I said, when he's not on his phone and stuff, you know, when he's being fun, you know.
That's one of the worst defences I've ever heard.
No, it's like, because Bluey's dad is like, he's got real, you know, when you are either of you an uncle?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you have a lot more energy when you were an uncle than when you were a parent?
Oh, yeah. And as an uncle, if you're an uncle without kids, you are like Superman. When you're an uncle with kids, I'm just like, I've got my own. You deal with it.
Yeah, exactly that.
Your kids are lovely. They're lovely kids. I've got no time for them whatsoever because I'm sick of my own ones.
Can I have 10 minutes off the kids now?
Do you want a sleepover? Should we bring them over? No, why double the number in my house?
So I think Bluey has got real uncle energy as a parent.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't reckon he's like that all the time. They should do an episode where Bluey's really cross, just wants to sit on his phone on Twitter for a couple of hours. Maybe he's got a hangover from the night before. All those things, you know.
Normal dad stuff.
Just normal dad stuff.
It's like Instagram bodies. You got to have a realistic body on Instagram so that people don't feel like they're letting themselves down. We need realistic dad figures on the telly so we don't look shit.
Because they took Peppa Pig the other way. Daddy Pig and Peppa Pig is just like constantly lazy and rubbish. You know, you need the happy medium in the middle, but no one would watch it, would they?
Exactly.
Anyway, Mr. Bull is my favourite in Peppa Pig anyway.
Have you done any like kids? Because I could imagine you doing like kids TV or stuff like that, Charlie. You've got that kind of that energy about you. Have you done anything like that?
I can't remember.
I don't think you've got the right energy for it though, because you are happy and smiley, but you're funny and
quite
cynical and a bit angry about stuff. But you do what I do, which is on paper with a happy-go-lucky one, but actually we are ranting through a smile on stage.
I could imagine though, Charlie. I could imagine you hosting Down on the Farm.
Oh, I'd do Down on the Farm.
Oh, no, I'd love that.
That's easy, isn't it? Me and Charlie are built for that.
Yeah, am. No, what that would be, Rob, is town and country, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Town and here, come and look at the countryside, Rob.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's go and have a little look. Etika. Oi, oi, I got me new wellies on.
Yeah.
Oh, I've stepped in some cow poo. Oh, no.
Oh, shit here. Sounds like shit here. Oh, it's got on my new Reebok Classic.
Let's go back to the city. All right, then. What's going on here? Yeah.
Charlie, you don't need to do an impression of yourself.
Jeffro's lawyers are in time.
Yeah, I've had the Denzel officer.
Well, that's quite a good idea for a kids TV show,
yeah,
isn't
town
it?
And country,
town
lovely,
and country,
it?
And yeah, that'd be good.
Lovely stuff. Lovely
there we
stuff.
Go. No. We've got that on record now. If they steal it
now, we've pitched that.
Yeah, when Julia Donaldson nicks it, she loves
it. She'll be. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I'll tell you what books are shit. The David Walliams books. Oh, my God.
Oh, I've not read them, are they?
Oh, I'm my God. Them. They are utterly shit. They spoil reading. They make people... honestly, one of them's good. Like, yeah. There's like one good one. And like the rest are utter shit. There was a point when that was the only children's book that was like... advertised or on sale or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're always like, you know, John and the Jumping Grandad Plane or something, you know, and it's like, oh, God. And they are so badly written. They're offensive. And it's
you're
just,
really
like, it's
angry
just,
about them.
Oh, I can't bear the book. I think they... Then you read something good. You read, like, a good book. Yeah. Like, because they're like... They to me, they're like Roald Dahl ripoffs, basically.
Right.
No, but you read like Bedknobs and Broomsticks or something, or like The Borrowers, and they're amazing.
Yeah.
They make you cleverer. They're brilliant stories. Look, to be positive, The Boy in the Dress is good. There we are. I'll
right,
tell you
we'll
that.
Snip that bit out. Charlie, your son, Rob said earlier, is a goalkeeper with a football team.
Yes, yes.
What's it like? I think this might be the first person we've spoken to who must... stand on the sidelines.
How
is that emotionally? Because particularly a goalkeeper, where really the role of the goalkeeper is often to shoulder the blame if things go wrong.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah. I stand up his end.
So, does he play at quite a good level, or is it just a Sunday league?
He plays in a Sunday morning league in Oxfordshire. And his team, although they're only 12 boys from the same village, they're really good, and they've played together since they were seven. And a lot of these teams, as they get older, they just become like Frankenstein teams. Like the best players from other teams will join a team. But his team have stayed together, so they are like
they're
true
like the class
team.
Of 92.
Yeah, they are. No, that's what they're like, and where they live and the area where they live, they're good. They're really good. But that football. It's utterly, utterly ridiculous. I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant to watch it when they're playing well and everybody's happy and it's all going along nicely. But the amount you have to stand behind a line, what because people you do get cross. I mean, for the first.
Oh, so this isn't a COVID thing.
No. It's
so you're
behavior.
Put behind it. You've got a technical error as a parent.
It's a parent's behaviour issue, right?
Oh wow. And where do you come on the scale of problematic parents?
Right, well, this is the thing. I am right into it. You know I'm right into it. I love sport and I'm an enthusiastic, loud person. And I would say in the first 10 games, I probably got a bit too into it a couple of times.
Okay, out of 10, problematic parent scale.
Oh, not problematic, not just...
Okay.
Noisy, loud, never aggressive, but just noisy and loud.
Would all the things you shout be positive towards the team?
I have always been positive. I was always been positive.
What about the referee?
But yeah, you sometimes you, early on, no, when you start out, you go, oh God, no, because you take the terraces onto it.
Yeah.
So I'm talking a long time ago now, but as you go on, you go, you look utterly ridiculous, or you see someone else lose it. You know, or you see another dad lose it or whatever, and you go, oh my God. So you just stop it. It just stops because you just go, you look utterly ridiculous. But it's, I don't know, there's something about it that just, it does get inside you. And it's really exciting when they're playing and it's your lads and it's your boy. It's really exciting, you know, when they win and when they score and they're in tournaments. And it's very unlike watching sport in any other way. So what it's like if you're Wayne Rooney's dad or
whoever's Judy Murray.
If you're Judy Murray, it must be. I mean, I've met Judy Murray, and she's a very calm woman and very, very
Judy Murray
even
Wayne
in
Rooney's
her praise.
Mom. Is that why she looked so confused at Wimbledon?
If you're at that level, it must be so difficult. But you must have watched hours and hours and hours of them playing sport, driven them. This is what you realise as well, that the sacrifice that sports people's parents make is just unbelievable. The one you don't want them to get in, what you don't want your kids to get into is swimming.
Women?
You don't want them to be good at swimming.
I thought you said women.
No, swimming.
A womanizer, George Best. No, swimming's horrible. It's hot and sweating.
Oh, yeah.
And they're inside for hours, and then you watch them, and they're underwater for most of it, and it's like hours and hours of. You have to get up really early to go and practice and stuff. You know, it's too much. But also, I've got a friend whose daughter is a almost Olympic level pistol shooter.
Oh, God.
And he says that. I said, that must be unbelievable. It must be brilliant. And he went, it's awful, right? Because you're just in some leisure centre somewhere and you're not next to them. They're like the other side of the hall, just on their bit. They shoot twice, like, doof, doof, and then that's it. And it's just quiet. It's no excitement. So I was like, oh, God. So there's loads of stuff.
How she got into that?
Yeah. She turned up with a Cubs evening at this shooting range for like a Cubs night out, and she got very close on her second go to breaking the club record. Brilliant at it, like an absolute natural at it.
What a strange thing to be brilliant at.
Yeah. Charlie, we're going to have to wrap up. We've got one last question. Thank you as well for being so honest earlier. I think a lot of people will really appreciate that, and it will help a lot of people. So thanks for that.
Other parents of girls that are into shooting.
Exactly. We have Olympic level shooting kids. The question was, it's called Crosby's Law, and it's the thing that annoys you about your partner's parenting that you've never had the guts to tell her that frustrates you slightly. And this is your, you know, moment. If you did listen back, she could maybe...
The trouble is, Rob, and this is genuinely the answer, and Josh will back me up as well on this, is I genuinely can't find anything ever wrong with my wife's parenting. Mm. She's a really, really brilliant... I know this isn't the answer you want.
No, it's fine. If it is the answer, what would she say about you?
Oh, just too overly emotional, dropping bombs all the time, and then sort of... expecting for it to be cleared up, not holding myself together enough, you know, not parenting enough, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know,
being too fun.
Know, trying to, not even that, just trying to be like, well, I want to do this.
Basically, stop being an attention seeking comedian.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, I'm full of love and I love my kids.
Of course you do. You're a brilliant dad. I've seen you with Stan up in Edinburgh and that, and he absolutely adores you. So I'm sure it's just a 14-year-old being annoying at this stage. But
give it 4 years, Charlie. You'll be back in the good books.
Exactly.
You can buy me a pint in 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years, you can buy me a pint. Imagine that.
Oh, lovely stuff. Oh, cheers, Charlie. Thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, Charlie.
Cheers, lads.